Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. I believe the attendance booklets have already been passed out. We ask that you take the time to register your attendance. And if you're the first one to sign the book, if you would put today's date, the 23rd, and 10:15 up in the corner, we would appreciate it. We'd like to recognize any first-time visitors we have with us this morning. Section to my left, any first-time visitors? Okay, how about the center section? Section to my right, any first-time visitors? Yes, Jane. Glad to have you. Yes, Carol. Glad to have you with us. Anyone else? Well, we welcome everyone. At this time, we'd like to ask you to take a look at the announcements in your bulletin, all the activities planned for the week. And if anyone has any announcements to add.
I'd like to... Sorry.
Go ahead.
Sure.
I just wanted to mention again about the bazaar, and if anybody would like to donate anything to the Christmas
Love time. I'm not sure who is on the outreach committee that's present, but I wanted to show how that I knew how to put a box together. We used to get a little loaf, a little plastic container that looked like a loaf of bread. Well, they're hard to ship and they would crack if you got them full of quarters, and there was a number of reasons, I'm not sure what they all were, that they went to a paper box. You can ship many of these in a small amount. So we got a small box back there, but it has a lot of containers. And I want to show you how bright I am, or what a good engineer I might have been. Okay, what I might have been. So you take this, somebody engineered this, you may have done this one, but you take it and you push it like that, and then you put A down first. It's got instructions on it, but I wanted to show you that I could even read, I guess. You put A first, and then the B's this way. And then you put the C, and then you push it way down where it catches. But that might lose your quarters if you got it full. So then you can drop that stiff cardboard in there. And that's a replacement for that little loaf that we used to use, and fold it down. And it's got all kinds of instructions. And then there's a fact sheet and an encouragement sheet back there on the table in the back also. I will say, we got the hole stopped up for this Sunday, but we still have noise going, or words going out the ceiling. So sometimes if you can't hear, put your hand like this, and I'll try to speak up. But we hope we've got the sound system where it will take care of you. Maybe next week, or the next week, we'll have the ceiling back in place. We don't know. But they're working on it. Okay. So, and...
Any other announcements from the congregation? Diane.
Yes, I do have one other announcement. The outreach committee is also doing comprehensive Christmas shopping this year for the Americans for the children. So if you'd like to participate, we're going to have a dinner on the table. And we're going to have a dinner in about 3 weeks.
Okay. Sherry again.
As Presbyterians, we're members of a presbytery. We happen to be members of Columbia Presbytery. Columbia Presbytery meets today at 3 o'clock at Santa Fe, down near Columbia. And so, would you pray for that meeting today and people in travel? We also have five people from this church, I think four or five, at an outing in Gulf Shores, Alabama, and they should be leaving about now to come back. And so pray for their safety. We also have seven or eight people going south to Gulfport to work on Julie Beaumar's sister's house. It happened to be the house that Julie grew up in, and it got water in it, and they're going to replace drywall. I'm looking to Gary for affirmation, or that's right, right on that. And so they're on their way to Gulfport. Julie went with them, and the Bales, and Sam and Nancy, and Yaroslav and Bob Leonard, and who else? Okay, and so they're traveling that way. They may meet about Montgomery or something. We don't know where they'll meet. So pray for them. Also, one of the young men on the outing, young adult retreat to Gulf Shores, that's a denomination-wide retreat, he is from this presbytery, and he has submitted himself to the ministry. Well, to be accepted by presbytery, he has to come before presbytery and give his testimony. And he is on his way back early. He may have left about 4 o'clock, and his name is Joey Humble. And so pray for Joey that he'll have a safe journey back and get to Santa Fe at 3 o'clock this afternoon or thereabout, because we can't accept him. The process is, right or wrong, the process is we have to hear his testimony before we can receive him. That's part of, you know, we can't do it in his absence. And he wanted to go to that. He wanted to be here. So pray for Joey as he travels. Thank you.
Any other announcements? Okay, we move on to our prayer list. There are quite a few names listed on the prayer list in your bulletin. If you'd like to add a name, you can write names on the index cards in the pew in front of you and drop them in the offering plate. And we will also take any names from the congregation if anyone has any prayer requests. Mike? Any others? At this time, in preparation for worship, we ask that you bow your heads for a moment of silent prayer. Amen.
Out the renew hymnal and join us in singing the first verse of number 14.
call to worship this morning is number 7 in your hymnal. It's responsive. Please join with me. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourines and dancing. Praise Him with strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
If everyone would please stand this morning, we're going to sing hymn number 1, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Joyful, especially as we think of your many blessings. Let us not take them lightly. Lord, we thank you for the surroundings that we are blessed with. We thank you for the material benefits that you have sent our way. Lord, we thank you for the spiritual blessings that you pour out, greater than we know how to receive and use. We pray for help in knowing how to receive and how to use, Lord, that which you have given us. Lord, we thank you especially this day for salvation through Jesus. We thank you for sending Him
to die in our stead, to suffer in our place, to pay the penalty for our sin. Lord, your word calls us to praise you and give glory to your name. Enable us to do that as we meet. Not only us, O Lord, but all of your people wherever they meet on this day. Thank you for wanting your creation to worship you, the Creator. Thank you for loving us. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
We express our faith in God through the Apostles' Creed. It's number 716 in the back of the hymnal and also projected behind me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Your hymnals to hymn 553, Sweet By and By. Sing a new song, hymn number 531, Satisfied. And I guess Miss Melanie's going to play it through.
Confession this morning is from Leviticus chapter 5, verse 5. When anyone is guilty in any of these ways, he must confess in what way he has sinned. If you'd join me in unison with the confession. Holy and merciful God, in your presence we confess our sinfulness, our shortcomings, and our offenses against you. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. Forgive our sins and help us to live in your life and walk in your ways. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We are assured of our forgiveness. Romans 8:34 tells us, "Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us."
Just wanted to tell you all that this has been quite an honor working with Sveta on this little adventure today, and we appreciate her help with this. I'm going to have to rely a lot on Julie today. I've kind of lost my voice a bit again. Sorry. But that's okay. Julie can carry it. She's cool.
Now it's children's time with Miss Andrea. If the children would please come down front, and there will be children's church today.
If I have a green light, am I on? Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's do that one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you all remember the story about Zacchaeus? Anybody remember the story? Uh-huh. You remember this? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree. Do you remember why he climbed up in a sycamore tree? For the Lord he wanted to see. Well, I was thinking about Zacchaeus this morning. Zacchaeus was not exactly the kind of guy you'd want to hang around with. He wasn't really nice, and people didn't like him very much. But he wanted to see who? The Lord. He was making an effort to see the Lord. And the last thing we need to do is stand in the way that people are trying to get to know Jesus, right? So I'm going to tell you from personal experience, when I was growing up, some of the best friends I ever had and the neatest people I ever met were people that were nothing like me. Didn't like anything I liked to do, didn't go anywhere I went, but were people that I just happened to meet and get to know, and I learned so much from them, and hopefully they might have learned something from me. But the main thing I hope they learned was that I didn't stand in their way of getting to know Jesus. And so remember little Zacchaeus. When you're thinking about that again, now what did it say? Zacchaeus was a what? A wee little man. And a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. That's right. And if you look in the Bible, and if you're looking in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man," and who is the Son of Man? Jesus. "For the Son of Man, Jesus, has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Okay? Let's remember that. Let's learn that.
Can y'all sing it?
Our offertory sentence today comes from 2 Corinthians 9, 7b through 8. "For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. Will the ushers please come forward? Scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped him with her hair, kissed him, and poured perfume on him. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts to both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Okay, hymn number 338.
Exercise your thinking ability? Would you rather think or not be asked to think? You know, some people don't want to think. They want somebody to plan everything for them. Some people in church like somebody to plan it all and never ask them to think and tell them what to do, how to live every day. I like for you to think. I think you need to think. I think Jesus asked people to think. If I'm going to preach in His name, I've got to encourage people to think too, and to think. Got one preacher friend, every time he prays about in thanks to God, he says, "We thank you, God." And then here I am talking about thinking and saying thank instead. Thinking. Today, I want you to think about your forgiveness. We'll talk about thanking God for our forgiveness somewhere along the way. Jerry's done told one of our visitors that I put people to sleep. So if you close your eyes and don't fall over, I will think that you are thinking about your forgiveness. If you fall over, I know that you've gone to sleep. You know, one way to look at that is if you can go to sleep in church, maybe you're at peace with God. Or maybe you're bored. And I'll let you choose which one. God has something to say to us every day, whether we're in church or not.
Think about your forgiveness. Just think about it. You can preach a sermon yourself, you know. Think about it. What does it mean to you that your sins are forgiven? Does it mean anything that your sins are forgiven? As a forgiven person, a person who has been forgiven all of their sin that they've ever committed, what is your hope? What is your hope as a believer in Jesus? What is your hope as a Christian? What is the Christian's hope? Or what is your hope as a forgiven person? What does your future look like as a forgiven person? What does your eternity, not just future on this earth, what does your eternity look like as a forgiven person? And maybe compare it with what it would be like if you were not a forgiven person. If you were an unforgiven person. Think about your forgiveness. Now what would it be like if you were not forgiven? Or if you were unforgiven? Think about what it would be like. Now this is serious stuff. Don't go to sleep on me here. This is serious. What would it be like if you were required to pay for every sin that you've ever committed? Every one of them. Those big ones are those little bitty ones. We have put them in groups of big sin and serious sin and little bitty sin. Not so serious. What if you had to spend eternity, that's forever and ever and ever, with no ending to it. What if you had to spend eternity paying for all of your sin? Maybe one today and three tomorrow and six the next day. And then pay again for the same sin. What if you had to do that? What if you had to pay for every sin until the very last sin that you've ever committed was paid for? Now, what is payment for sin? Death. And it's not dying and non-existence anymore. It's separation from God. You remember the parable? We'll get into a parable today, but the parable of the rich man. We called him Dives, somebody did. The Bible just calls him a rich man and Lazarus. And he died and he was paying for his sin. He needed a drink of water. Or just a drip of water. On his tongue. Jesus told that parable. If that's anything like paying for our sin, or will be, not a pretty sight, is it? Not a good existence, is it? Continue with the questions. What difference does it make that we are forgiven? Does it matter whether we're forgiven or not forgiven? What difference does it make in our future? If we're forgiven, what difference does it make in our eternity? Where we spend eternity? How we spend eternity? How we are in eternity?
Jesus paid for our sin. The fact that He paid for our sin, how does that affect our future? How would our future look if He had not paid for our sin? Would we look at our future with anticipation and hope? If the Calvary experience, we sang about Calvary right after the scripture lesson. There's a reason that song was there. If the Calvary experience had never happened, if Jesus had not died on the cross on Calvary, how would our future look? Have you thought about these in the last week or two? Seriously? Now, I think I'm talking like that all of us gathered here today have trusted and are trusting Jesus to forgive our sin. I won't ask for a show of hands or even a spoken word. But yes, I'm talking like all of us gathered here have trusted and are trusting Jesus to forgive our sin. I'm talking like all of us have claimed Jesus as our Savior. That all of us have made Jesus, who has saved us, and out of appreciation have made Him Lord of our life. He is our Lord and He is our God and we're serving Him. We're the servants. He is the Lord. But in case you haven't trusted Jesus, in case you haven't invited Jesus into your heart, in case you haven't experienced His forgiveness, in case your life has not been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, in case all of your sin hasn't been removed from you, I want you to think about what difference it would make in your life if you would trust Jesus. What difference it would make in your life if all of your sins were removed, were taken away from you, and were placed on the other side of the world, or maybe on the moon, or maybe on Mars, or maybe on Pluto. Scripture says that through Jesus our sins are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? We can comprehend the other side of the world, out in the middle of the ocean somewhere where they would all be drowned. Can we comprehend them going to the moon or to Mars or to Pluto or to Neptune or to Jupiter or to some star where they'd be burned up or to the sun 93 million miles away? So if your sins have not been forgiven, if they have not been removed, what difference would it make if they were removed? What difference would it make in your future, your eternity? But we who are saved, we who have trusted, we who are trusting Jesus as our Savior, how thankful are we? This passage includes a parable about thanksgiving, thankfulness. We who have been forgiven, we who have a different future, we who have a hope of a future that... What did we sing about? What was the name of that song? In the sweet by and by? On that beautiful shore? When we all get to heaven, we didn't sing that one, but it's real close there. How thankful are we that heaven is our home and we're just pilgrims passing through this land, that this world is not really eternity, just temporary.
the not yet saved, if you be here. But I come in believing, talking like we're all saved. But if you happen to be one of those who is not trusting Jesus yet, and you're not yet saved, how thankful would you be if you became saved from all of your sin? Would it be kind of, oh, he owed it to me? Or, oh, so what? Or, oh, it doesn't make much difference? Or, oh, it would have been okay if he hadn't have saved me? If your slate was wiped clean, the record of all of your wrongdoing, if it was wiped clean, how thankful would you be? A lot of questions. I'm good at asking questions, I think. Try to be anyway. I think I have some answers. I think the Bible gives us some answers. Our scripture is about a person, a woman, and another person, a man, and then about Jesus. But then it's about us. Our scripture is about a woman who was forgiven her sin. And oh, she was oh so thankful. And she showed it. She didn't keep it a secret. She didn't say, I'm really thankful, but I don't want to show it too much. She was thankful, overflowing with thanksgiving. Read it. Bubbling over. Crying. Tears were flowing. That's bubbling over, isn't it? Oh, so thankful. But then there was that man. Evidently, he did not realize he needed forgiveness. Maybe he hadn't claimed it yet. It was available to him. Jesus talked like he had been forgiven his little sin in the parable. It wasn't near as bad in people's eyes, at least, as hers was. Someone said that this parable, this passage in this parable, is about people who need forgiveness and they know it. This woman needed forgiveness and she knew it. She was a prostitute. The great theologians that studied it and know the history of the country and the geography of the country and the social aspects of the area where Jesus was speaking, they all say that she was a prostitute. She knew what she was. She knew that she needed forgiveness. And it's about people who receive forgiveness and are grateful to be forgiven. She was grateful. She was thankful. And she was showing it. But it's also, this parable is about people, of this passage, including the parable, is about people who need forgiveness, but they don't know it. And this was Simon. And it's about religious people who totally miss the point. And sometimes the most religious people are those who miss the point of God's forgiveness. Why Jesus came. What the church is about. What the kingdom is about. What the preaching is about. The passage is about an event. A meal. Great event. We talked about banquets yesterday. Here Jesus is talking about another, or is participating in another meal. He was invited to a Pharisee's house. A meal at the house of a Pharisee. His name was Simon. Jesus is the invited guest. We're told that it was a low table, probably an open courtyard, but a low table, not a high table like we'd pull a chair up to, but they would recline on a pillow. face, head and face close to the table, feet stretched out away from the table. And the woman having access to Jesus as she did, it was probably an open courtyard where people could come and go. And a group of Jesus and the Pharisees and how many more were having lunch or a meal at the table. And while they were at the table eating, this sinful woman enters and anoints Jesus' feet. And here, Simon. Simon questions why Jesus would allow this kind of action from this kind of woman. Why would she would even allow, why he would allow her to touch him. It appears to me from verse 39 that Simon's question was never really verbalized. Or if it was mumbled. Where do I get that? It says, he, Simon, said to himself. You ever talk to yourself? You don't really have to say it plainly, do you? You understand what you're saying even if you mumble it, don't you? What'd you say? I'm just talking to myself. Might be in our sleep. It might be in our waking hours. Might be while we're driving. Might be while we're thinking. But it's possible that he never said it verbally. Never spoke it out. Possibly he just thought it. Only thought it. Said he said to himself. You know, I've been told that you're in danger when you start talking back to yourself. It's okay to talk to yourself. But when you start answering, Jesus answered this man. He wasn't in as much trouble as we might have thought he was. He was questioning in his self-talk, his talk to himself. He was really questioning whether Jesus was a man of God. The word is, he kept saying, is he really a prophet if he don't recognize this kind of person that's coming up to him? Could he really be a prophet? Or could he really be a prophet of God? Or could he really be a man of God? At least, this was a somewhat good Pharisee. Some Pharisees had nothing to do with Jesus. But this one thought he might be a man of God and invited him home. He wasn't a very gracious host. According to the custom of the day, what we're told of the custom, but at least he invited Jesus to a meal. Maybe he wanted to know more about him. There were some Pharisees who did trust in Jesus. Nicodemus, wasn't he a Pharisee? Slipped to Jesus by night, wouldn't be open with it. This one at least was invited Jesus to his house openly. If Simon never spoke the question, then Jesus had to read his mind. And that's no problem for him. Jesus was God in the flesh. Or as I said, maybe he mumbled it to himself, kind of, and Jesus overheard his mumbling and was able to decipher it. Somehow, Jesus knew what he was thinking, so then Jesus, in response to that, spoke a parable. I think Jesus said, did he not say, I've got a question to ask you? And the man said, ask. Oh, I got something to tell you. And he was open. He said, tell me, teacher. Tell me. Tell me what it is. I'm ready. At least he was that positive in his relationship with Jesus. So Jesus spoke this parable. The parable was that a lender loaned money to two people. One borrower owed 50 denarii. That's kind of hard to say. And let's change that to dollars. Can we translate? Is that changing a jot or a tittle? Maybe we can change it to dollars and not be in too much danger. $50.
And then the other had borrowed, and thus therefore he owed 500 denarii dollars. And it says that neither had the money to repay. What did they do with the money? They didn't bury it. If they invested it, they lost it. They probably bought groceries with it, or paid rent, or something. They may have gambled it away. We don't know what they did with it. Maybe they bought a horse or a donkey, and the horse died, or the donkey died. Maybe they bought a cow, and maybe they bought a car, and the car got wrecked. They didn't have money to pay back. We don't know. Neither one of them could pay their debt. One $50 and one $500. And the lender forgives both debts. He just says, okay, you can't pay. Paid in full. Settled. Forgiven. I forgive this debt. Wipes the books clean. That page with their name on it, or those two pages with their name on it, one at the top of each page, it was wiped clean. They didn't owe anything. Neither one of them owes anything. So Jesus asked Simon, which debtor will love the forgiving lender more? And Simon answered real quickly, well, the one who was forgiven more. Need I say that Simon represents the debtor who owed $50. He was a relatively good guy. He was a religious person. He was in the synagogue. He was part of the establishment. He was an upstanding community man. And part of the Pharisee's job was to see that others lived right and didn't break the law. If they did, they would call their attention to it. Paul was a Pharisee, and he got papers and went and arrested people who he thought were doing wrong. Simon represents the man who owed $50 is represented by Simon, or he represents Simon. The woman was a great debtor. She owed $500. She represents the person who owed $500. She had borrowed it. She had probably wasted it. She might have hung out at the local bar. We don't know what she did with it, but she owed it. Now, another question. Which debtor represents us? Do we owe a lot or do we owe a little? Doesn't really matter. We're sinners. Even if we're saved, we're saved sinners and saved by the grace of God. Which debtor do we represent, or which one represents us? Say it either way you like. Now, which expresser of thanks represents us? Or which expresser of thanks do we represent when we come before God? Which one represents you? I've had to answer this myself. You know, Simon was not thankful enough to even wash Jesus' feet. Do you think Simon was one who didn't get the point at all, who just missed the point? Do you think he was the one that was a sinner and didn't realize he needed forgiveness? Are we forgiven little or much? It doesn't matter. Sin is sin. And all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us. That's Bible. That's from the beginning. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If it's not our action, it's our nature, because we're descendants of Adam and Eve. But it's our action too. We followed right along. Like parents, like children. We have sinned, and we are born in sin. And our sin separates us from God and gives us a bleak eternity, or the prospects of a bleak eternity. All of us stand in need, or stood in need. Maybe we've claimed the forgiveness and claimed the grace of God. But all of us stand or have once stood in need of forgiveness. Let me share a story with you about Mr. Colgate. You know who Colgate is? Some of you probably use Colgate toothpaste to brush your teeth with this morning. Possible? Crest or Colgate? And you alternate kind of when you go to the store. Anybody know they use Colgate? Can you remember? I don't know. You did. Anybody back here know that you use Colgate? Mr. Colgate was a Christian man. Early in life, I heard about Mr. Colgate giving 10% of his income and 20%. And finally, he got to the point he was giving 90% of his income to religious work. But here's this story. This is about a different. It says, in his church, they were having an evangelistic meeting, or a revival, if you will. And at the end of one of the sermons, an invitation was given for those who wished to turn their lives over to Jesus Christ and be forgiven to come forward. One of the first persons who walked the aisle, as we call it, well, the first person who walked down the aisle and kneeled at the altar was a well-known prostitute. She knelt in very real repentance. She wept. She asked God to forgive her. And while this was happening, the rest of the congregation were looking on in such an approving way, so pleased at what was happening in this woman's life. And then she stood up and she testified. She gave a public testimony. She testified that she believed that God had forgiven her past, all of her sin, and now she says, now as a new person, as a forgiven person, I want to become a member of this church. Silence. Deafening silence. Finally, Mr. Colgate arose and spoke. And this is what he said. I guess we blundered when we prayed that the Lord would save sinners. We forgot to specify what kind of sinners. We'd better ask Him to forgive us for this oversight. The Holy Spirit has touched this woman and made her truly repentant. But the Lord apparently doesn't understand that she is not the type that we want Him to rescue. And then he continued, we'd better spell it out to him and tell God, just which sinners we had in mind when we prayed for him to save sinners. The story continues that immediately one church leader got the message. An emotion was made and it was unanimously approved that the woman be accepted into membership of that congregation. The point is that God accepts us as we are. He doesn't leave us like we are. There's not a sin too black. There's not a deed too awful. There's not a thought too horrible for God to forgive us. And it makes all the difference in the world. We know His forgiveness. But some don't want to accept it. There was an attorney. He was studying the Scriptures and after meditating on the Scriptures, decided to do something almost unheard of. He decided to cancel the debts of all of his clients that owed him money for more than 6 months. So he drafted a letter. He explained in this letter his decision. He explained the biblical basis of his decision. And he sent 17 letters canceling the debt of 17 clients that owed him money. He sent it by certified mail. You know, you have to sign for certified mail. And one by one, these certified letters began to be returned. People wouldn't sign for them. They thought that he was done in them, I guess. I don't know what they thought, but they were returned. They were unsigned. They would not sign the receipt to receive them, so they were undeliverable. You know, a couple of people could have moved away during the 6 months period or longer, but 16 of the 17 came back unsigned because they refused to open the envelope. Evidently, they feared that this attorney was suing them for their debts. Is that kind of like God? Sometimes we won't receive the forgiveness, the cancellation of our debt. Sometimes we won't do it. But God continues to be willing to cancel it. But sometimes we won't open the letter and receive it. Our little sin, our respectable sin, as we have placed them in different groups. You know, that respectable sin in our eyes is just as dark in God's eyes as their big sin, whoever they are. But God offers forgiveness to all. Jesus paid for our sin at Calvary. If we're here and not yet forgiven, God wants to forgive you. If you don't know anything else, just know that God wants to forgive you. For much sin, for little sin. Look at what Jesus did to the woman. He told her, "Your sins are forgiven." Join me as we sing together 336. We're going to do verse 1 and 3. And maybe you want to come publicly expressing your sin and asking forgiveness. And I want to let you go away from here knowing that you are forgiven. Stand together with me. 336. If you'd like to just talk to God right there, He hears you there also.
Mm-hmm.